Happy Thursday, everybody. You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studios, and in just a little bit, we are going to introduce you to an incredible gentleman named Richard Hunt, who is a Chicago native and is regarded as one of the leading and most prolific creators of public art in the country. So we're very excited to meet him, and you've seen his artwork everywhere, including the Art Institute right here in Chicago and on buildings. So I'm excited to meet him. And I also have a new segment that we will be introducing. It's actually been embarrassingly a couple years in the works. I had an idea when you see all these folks arguing on social media. And mostly it would happen when I knew both people, but they didn't know each other. I thought, man, if these two people knew each other, they would not be calling each other names. They wouldn't say such hostile things. And part of me wanted to sit down and have a cup of coffee with them. And actually thought about maybe introducing them without, you know, saying this is the person that you were arguing on social media with. But I never really got around to doing that, because you also take a risk. People maybe you don't know very well, or you don't know how it's going to turn out. And finally, I realized today that I think I have two individuals who will make an excellent sort of pilot to this new segment called Patty's Peace Talks. And I didn't have a chance to tell Andrea about it because I was working on it. And I will pull back the curtain a little bit and let everyone know that one of the people in our Patty's Peace Talks is Scott Santis, who also did not know that he was going to be part of this. Yes.
No, that was a surprise.
That was a surprise. but it wasn't meant to be. I just hadn't decided how to unpack it yet. So I was kind of coming up with it. But I did tell the other individual involved in this this back and forth, back and forth with words.
Yeah.
Dave Lundy did know about it around 6:30. And I don't know why I told him and didn't tell you. And I apologize for that. And Andrea as well.
I didn't know either.
We're
talking to Mike's like, all right, we had to move such and such. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
When did that happen? He goes, like an hour ago?
That's how I came up with I was working on the new element. And then I realized, ooh, Paul Farvar would make an excellent arbitrator on this. So sort of an independent, neutral entity. Although I don't know, he might have an opinion that resonates with you or with Dave. But in this context, he has to remain neutral and sort of give, maybe his opinion. And we, the audience can also join in if you would like. But I think going forward, Michael, I think that we take submissions from people, and I don't know that we could have them in studio. That seems like a vetting process that we're not ready to do right now. But I mean it would be fun to introduce people who are so vocal and visceral and call each other names and get really nasty and introduce them. But we can't guarantee it would go well, so we don't have that. I don't know if we have that kind of security.
You know what we need? We need a cage here in the
cage match.
I like
it. Oh, I know.
That'd be nice.
I think we just give people candy. If we just gave them treats, do you think they would be nicer?
Throw at each other?
Well,
that's a horrible idea.
Well, if it's like Laffy Taffy or something like that, maybe. Well, Laffy Taffy can be kind of hard.
They can talk.
Exactly. Well, here's another thing. So. That's because there's a, even just as I was on my way before I left tonight, I belong to several Jefferson Park neighborhood pages, and people got really nasty about a joke about Trump, and then people got nasty about a joke about President Obama and President Trump, and they were going back and forth at each other, and they're neighbors. And I thought, well, this is just crazy. Do you guys, and we have neighborhood functions, we have these social gatherings, and I thought, so what do you guys do if you happen to run into each other in public?
Snarl.
Yeah. I try not to jump in on arguments anymore. And there's so many, there's the kinds of things people argue about is just endless.
Oh, and anything can trigger it. Anything.
Oh, absolutely.
Anything. I do a caption contest once a week for the Tribune. And it'll be the most innocuous drawing of a bear hugging a porcupine or something. And three lines down, someone will bring up, oh, sure, because you like Trump.
And nothing
Betty
had nothing to do with it. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, people see and hear what they want to, and they bring their own, obviously their own perspectives. And I didn't feel as though you or Dave were able to hear each other on social media.
Well, I heard him.
Well, I didn't realize until I talked to him tonight that then it became like he started sending Scott emails. And what about this? And here's another example of what I'm talking about. And here's another thing. And I could see
campaign ad from Connecticut.
To be honest with you, if I had known that it had gotten to that level, I probably wouldn't have used you two for this.
Oh, we'll be fine.
I know. I'm just saying.
Kind of grown ups, almost, sort of.
Yeah.
After a fashion.
Somewhat.
It was going to be interesting to see what he broke this week, because David's pad, like, every time I see him now, something is bandaged or cast. He's got cast on.
Oh, well, he's had the same cast on for a while. He broke. And by the way, that was my fault.
What?
I could have had him on the show that night.
You broke his chain?
He was out riding his bike at the time that he would have been on the show.
Oh, see?
Yes.
Thanks a lot.
So ultimately, it was my fault.
It's all your fault.
Yes.
Thanks.
He rode off the path, and that's all my fault.
But then before that, he was having other health issues.
I don't know. What other things? Well, let's not get into Dave's health issues when he's not here. This is not part of the peace talks, belittling somebody or mocking any sort of physical injuries that might have occurred.
Don't you have a friend that every time you see them, something is bandaged or cut or they've had stitches?
It used to be me, so maybe I feel a little sensitive about this. In high school, I had a broken ankle, a chipped kneecap. I tore the ligaments in my ankle. I've broken all kinds of things. Broken, chipped, ripped.
That could be a segment unto itself.
Yeah, I think I broke my toe again doing kickboxing, which is just embarrassing.
No, it's not that.
No, because when you break a toe, you can't walk. But you know, people are like, oh, did you break your ankle? No, I broke my pinky toe. And all you can do is, you know what they do? They buddy tape it.
Yeah. Yeah, they can't do anything to it. Come on.
Yeah, they just put tape it to the one.
There's
next
no
to
casting.
It.
There's no cast.
Yeah,
yeah. How did you? Never mind. I'll have to have this discussion.
No, but when they tape the toe next to it, it's like, here, just hang out with this other toe and you'll be fine.
Yeah,
you two just cuddle with each other. It'll be fine.
You'll be cool. Was it little toe?
It was the little toe.
Yeah, I've done that.
I believe Richard Hunt has arrived, so we are going to take a break here and introduce everyone to one of the most prolific sculptors in the country as Richard Hunt joins us on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis on 720 WGN. Artist Richard Hunt has said, in some works, it is my intention to develop the kind of forms nature might create if only heat and steel were available to her. We welcome Richard Hunt in the studio, and he is one of the most prolific sculptors in the country. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And thank you so much. I was just talking to our friend John Harris, who said that he arrived to pick you up and bring you to the station, and you were hammering away at a project that you intend to finish tomorrow.
That's true. So about 8 o'clock, a truck will arrive, taking a sculpture to its intended site in South Bend, Indiana. And from there, after delivering that sculpture, I'll go on to Benton Harbor, St. Joe, for the dedication of another sculpture that I installed just a little while ago at the Krasel Arts Center, which is undergoing a great renovation and renewal. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, they even call it Sculpting Community, which I like.
It's beautiful. That Krasel Art Fair every year is wonderful. We used to go to that every single year. So that's a very big artist community.
That's true.
So
that's
very cool that it's going there.
Yeah. And I have my satellite studio in Benton Harbor, the sister city to St. Joe, which is one of the reasons I've been involved in the Krasel over, matter of fact, 20 years I've been out there that long.
Yeah. What drew you to Benton Harbor and St. Joe's?
Well, over the years, I would spend time in, Southwest Michigan, Berrien County, whatnot. Mm-hmm. Either friends who had places there and one thing or another. As a matter of fact, a very good friend had a kind of artist colony, and we used to spend a lot of time in the summer working on prints along with having a good time. But then one of the things that a group in Berrien County called the Cornerstone Alliance, largely supported by Whirlpool, wanted to do at one point was to see if artists could help, in sort of revitalizing parts of the city where people had left because jobs had left, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, I found there a very fine place to have a studio and to be involved with some of the activities of community rebuilding.
So. Oh, that's wonderful.
How'd you get interested in sculpting and the arts?
Oh, that goes back to when I was 5 years old. Now I'm 83. But so it's been a long involvement with the arts and sculpture. It wasn't until I was in high school that I decided I wanted to be a sculptor. But I like making things and was always drawing and stuff like that as a kid. And both in the public schools, I grew up in Chicago, Woodlawn, Englewood. Mm-hmm. Anyway, in the public schools, there was art. And in high school, I took what they call an art major. Then I also started to go to what was the junior school at the Art Institute, where kids from 7th grade on through high school could go on Saturdays and in the summers and get another kind of level of instruction in art, more personal and more more engaging than some of the art classes in the public schools. But I had really very good art teachers in the public schools. But it's another thing is that you'd be in a class with a lot of other young people who had the same kind of interests that you did, couldn't play baseball or football, and so they would draw right. and mm-hmm. paint on Saturdays. Yeah.
That's very cool, yeah.
What was it like being a junior in college and selling your first piece of artwork to the Modern Museum?
Well, it was I call it a stroke of luck, good fortune. I mean, it happened like what you're referring to is the fact that I, while I was still in the college, after the junior school, I went on to the School of the Art Institute's college. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, in my third year, I had started to exhibit locally as a number of my friends had who were students. An interesting thing, this goes back to the early 50s, and there were, when I say students, there were students like myself who'd gone to high school and graduated and gone on to school. There were a lot of GIs who returned and were going on the GI Bill. And there were a lot of refugees from other countries. Some were teachers and some were students, a lot from Eastern Europe, Germany, as well, mm-hmm. as particularly Jewish students, and teachers. And so anyway, I got involved in exhibiting my work, and there was a show called The American Show at the Art Institute that the curator, Mr. Frederick Sweet was the curator of modern and American art at the time. Anyway, there was this show called The American Show, and one of the jurors for the show was a woman named Dorothy Miller, who was at that time the chief curator at the Museum of Modern Art. And she just liked the piece that I had, which was a piece derived from a mythological tale, the story of Arachne being turned into a spider. So that it was a sort of spider woman sculpture. And it was a good start in
a little
to the
bit.
Professional art
sure.
world.
That's incredible.
The Smithsonian has called you, your status as the foremost African-American abstract sculptor and artist of public sculpture, unchallenged.
The Smithsonian has said that? I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah, how about that?
But anyway, I'm not going to disagree, but and of course I'm flattered by it. Yeah.
That's quite an accolade, though.
Yeah,
And the celebration in Chicago for over 60 years of artwork on display throughout all over the city. It's remarkable. I mean, was there ever a moment where you imagined that people would be walking down the street, that people would stop and look at what you did? I mean, I don't know if that's something that you even imagine, you know.
The idea of what you might call professionalism in the arts and all is something that's sort of, you know, grows up around you because of the work that you do incrementally. That is to say, you know, okay, so I'm like starting out as an art student, and so I get some things together and and show in an art fair. As a matter of fact, the first art fair I showed in was the Hyde Park Art Fair. Okay, so, you know, you have some works out on a table, little sculptures, and people start buying them. Well, that's something. Okay, so then later on you are in the Artists of Chicago and Vicinity show, and, you know, more things happen. Then somebody asks you if, you know, years later, somebody asks you if you'll do a sculpture to go in a park, you know. And so, you know, over time, you know, they develop these aspects of your career and the type of work. Dividing my time between what I call, you know, work done in the studio, self-expression, and then work that's commissioned, which usually has some aspect of either developing a place or commemorating something. Those things often, too, are involved with groups of people who want a certain thing done, and the interaction with architects, landscape architects, engineers. And so it's just a broadening of the kind of base that your work develops from.
That's wonderful. We have to take a break here. I'd love to catch up with you a little bit more after the news.
That's fine.
I know that you got to get back to work, but we won't keep you too long, I promise. You are listening to The Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. We're going to go to a break and then the news in just a moment on 720 WGN.
The vision for the Sculpting Community Project is to take the mission of the Krasel Art Center outdoors and create a space where people can connect with the art and be inspired by the art on their own terms. We're also commissioning the major sculpture by Richard Hunt that is providing a gateway to Lake Bluff Park and to St. Joseph, and also to the Krasel Art Center's grounds.
I was approached by the Krasel Art Center, who offered me the possibility of contributing something to this renovation expansion of the Krasel Art Center.
Art engages people, and I think art is very, very important for our continued development as people, to both hold us up, but to challenge us to think about things and where they're going and how we relate with them.
On October 27th, the Krasel Art Center's new sculpting community and outdoor campus, seen as a gateway to community and downtown, will celebrate the artwork of Richard Hunt. And we welcome him to the studio right now. You're listening to The Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And what a wonderful event this will be on Saturday night, as everyone raises a toast to your incredible career and, of course, the world of art as well.
Well, it is. I'm really excited about it. The sculpture was installed about a week ago, and the grounds, which have been newly landscaped, and one of the things about the sculpture is that it's there in and of itself, but it also is part of a place, a reimagined and recreated place that makes the entrance to the Art Center both more attractive and more a place to be, you know, and also it kind of welcomes you to what you might call a cultural district of St. Joe, and it's downtown and it's lakefront.
That's lovely.
That's beautiful. Your fellow Southsider, you were telling us off the air where we can see some of your works throughout the city, and I asked you what some of your favorite ones were too. And others.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're all my favorites, but some are more favorite than others.
Yeah.
I mentioned, for one thing, in the Carter Woodson Library, regional Chicago Public Library, I was commissioned to do, this goes back to the middle 70s, a piece that I call Jacob's Ladder. It takes its title from the Negro spiritual, climbing Jacob's Ladder, and it resonates in a lot of ways in the African-American community. But anyway, and it was an opportunity to have a sculpture that didn't come up from the ground, but that was suspended from the ceiling. As a matter of fact, it's two elements. There's one that is on the ground, but the idea in a lot of my work has to do with not only making a form, but having a special kind of relationship to the space it might be in. Mm-hmm. And in this case, this work was commissioned in a way that it was hanging, that it would hang from the ceiling. There was a skylight, and so working with the structural engineer for the building, we sized the beam so they would support the weight of the sculpture that hung down into this atrium. And that's a favorite piece, not far from this radio station on Randolph and Garland Court. There's a sculpture that I call We Will, kind of a collective re-saying of the I Will, Chicago motto. But anyway, it's a standing piece in stainless steel that's there for people to interact with as they come to and from work or sightseeing in downtown. My favorite pieces tend to be my most recent ones. So my favorite piece now is the two-part sculpture that welcomes people to the Krasl Arts Center grounds.
Yeah,
24,000 pounds?
Yeah, that's right.
22 feet high.
Well, you put a lot of stainless steel together, and you want it to be structurally sound and all, and
sure.
The weight just keeps going up.
And you are going to be up all night. What are you working on that is going to be picked up tomorrow?
Well, an interesting coincidence is that there's a family in South Bend that's commissioned me to do a sculpture for their residence, which will be situated in the driveway as you come into their property. And coincidentally, the family are not only collectors of my work, but through their business, the First Source Bank, they support the Krasl Arts Center. And so it'll be kind of a interesting sculpture weekend for me on Friday installing a sculpture in South Bend, and then Saturday going over to celebrate my sculpture in St. Joe, 30 some miles away.
Wow. Not too bad.
The Krasl Arts Center is so beautiful.
Well, it is. So and beautiful. It's even more beautiful now. I urge you to
Yeah,
come
absolutely.
Over.
Now.
I'm inviting you. Come Saturday.
We'll come see you.
Raise a glass
for sure,
with me.
Yeah.
At this dedication, you can raise a glass for the official dedication of a sculpting community, which is going to begin at 5:30 with a congratulatory toast. And you'll be able to enjoy an incredible celebration with food trucks from Nosh Village and Camsey's Pizza, craft beer from The Livery, local wines from Lake Michigan Vintners. And we encourage everyone to find out more at krasl.org. That's krasl.org. And if you're wondering about Richard Hunt's life, his career, and his incredible artwork, we encourage you to also visit his website, richardhuntstudio.com. And don't you think when people see a sculpture, when you know whether it's in a park or you know on Michigan Avenue or somewhere, maybe take a moment and take that in. Because I think so often we're just walking by in life.
Yeah, and looking out at your phones.
Well, mm-hmm. Yes, but you know, one of the things is, you know, like the sculpture on Randolph and Garland Court. You might not see it one day, but if you go to work every day, one of these days you'll even bump into it.
Well, if you're on your phone, like Andrea said, yes, you probably will bump into it. Well, what is there anything you want people to know about the life of an artist? I mean, because I don't think many people really take a moment to ask somebody who's had a career like yours to just, you know, the thing that might surprise people the most.
Well, I feel, I guess one would say, well, I would say, lucky, blessed. I mean, so I talked earlier about, you know, just being drawn to, and you don't think of it in the beginning, you know, if you're a young person, you don't say, I am an artist. You like to draw or you like to make things. And then if you do it, with a certain degree of skill, passion and all, and other people take notice of it, you end up finding yourself an artist. So it's not something that's like like that's sort of linear. Mm-hmm. I mean, the things that happen that sort of confirm your interest in art, and that it's something that you can well make a living doing, enjoy it. And as a matter of fact, something you don't want to retire from either, you know. I mean,
given
my advanced age, people say, oh, are you still sculpting? Yes, I'm still sculpting.
Okay, so that, but here's the thing. People always say that to artists. They always say, are you still doing that thing? And no one ever says, are you still doing that doctor thing? Are you
right,
still
right,
doing that
right,
lawyer
yeah,
thing? But yeah, for artists, they're still asking you that?
Yeah.
Well, we are blessed to have you and your artwork to grace so many places all over this country. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Well, thanks for having me.
And congratulations on the installation. That's wonderful this weekend.
Appreciate it.
Everyone visit krazl.org. That's KRASL.org. And again, the website for Richard Hunt is richardhuntstudio.com. We need to get a photo with you before you go and finish your work. There's a pickup time tomorrow, isn't there?
Great.
Get some rest too. I hope you do.
Well, I call this rest. I'm sitting in this soft seat talking to a lovely lady. And
well, thank you so much for joining us. You have a lovely evening and get back to work then.
All right. Thanks for having me.
More after
thanks
this.
For the break.
Oh, well, thank you. No, you're just incredible. And when we come back, it's time for Patty's Peace Talks. More in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis on 720 WGN.
Why is everyone fighting? Why is everyone so angry? Why has everyone got their panties in a bunch?
I don't know if you got your panties in a bunch, but we're here to settle at least. I don't know if we can settle an argument, but at least have people talk it out a little bit. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And several years ago, I had the idea to bring people together who had gotten to online arguments that I felt had gotten out of control, had gotten a little bit either personal or people didn't seem like they were listening to each other. Do you ever engage in arguments online, Andrea?
I try not to, but I totally know what you mean. I have two very good friends who were, and I always try to post something kind of impartial. Like, I'll just retweet a lot or like repost a story that Channel 9 has done. Like, okay, Trump is wants to send troops down. Okay, and it's just a reposting of a news story. And someone admittedly, you know, will say it will be bashing. Some will be for it. Some will be bashing. And then they get into a fight on your page. And it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Well, and I feel as though if those people knew each other, they would actually like each other.
Yeah.
But then I see people who know each other and like each other and getting into an argument.
Right.
I'm like, hold on a second. Maybe I can have my first test case of Patty's Peace Talks. And
so you're going to try and like broker the peace deal.
At least I didn't realize until, and again, I pulled back the curtain a little bit earlier, Dave, that I had told you and I had not told Scott or Andrea, because I was still trying to come up with the idea.
Right.
But I was prattling on to you on the phone, and I can't remember why.
Thanks, Dave.
We were talking about something else. and I can't remember what that was either. Anyway.
Right.
So I told you, and then you told me that you had been emailing Scott further information and other things to back up your... But then I was like, oh, if I'd known that, I might not have brought you in.
Yeah, but so I'm afraid this might not be a great test case.
Why?
Because I like Scott.
Exactly.
And I like Dave.
Which is good. You already like each other. My other ones
It doesn't matter how wrong he is about everything.
Okay,
I like
or
him.
Or how just off the rails he gets. He's still a good human being.
And because I didn't know how this would go, and nobody does, I thought that, you know, since Paul Farivar Esquire is an attorney, he might make a good... arbitrator on this?
Arbitrator, yeah.
Mediator?
Mediator, maybe?
See, you guys are already being nice to each other. So,
that's
yeah, as the arbitrator,
I
feel like what they used to do on the Jerry Springer show is they'd amp you up with Red Bull right before and then be like, you know what he just said about you? And then get it up. So you guys, I might play the instigator role as well, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Now here's one thing, and I don't know, this isn't necessarily, I don't know how it's possible, but the 815 says, this is an awesome idea, Patty, as long as both sides have true representation. But it's not political sides. It's actually just individual opinions. So it's not, they are fully represented because Scott represents Scott Santis, and Dave Lundy represents Dave Lundy.
And in the red corner.
That's all the representation that's not.
And in the same corner.
I wanted to have a cage in here for you guys.
Yes. I
thought you go in.
Man. Yes. I thought you guys should just throw candy at each other or eat candy. I'm not sure. So
pelt each other with candy.
This is
So I'm going to have, I think the best way to do this is I'm going to turn your mic off, Paul, and your mic off, Dave, and keep on Scott's. And
that seems fair.
Yes. You see, your mic's already off, Dave. Dave's like, wait a minute. And here's the thing. I have full control over the board. Even if you turn your mic on, I can just roll it down. It's fun. So I want Scott to be, because Scott, now try it again. Good. Give it a shot. Yeah, there you go. So Scott.
Yes.
You drew a cartoon.
Yes.
And you often reflect things that are going on culturally, politically. Mm-hmm. You are obviously in tune with what's going on in the news, and you take a satirical look at that, but you also are sharing part of your opinion.
Yes.
And in particular, I would say this is a good example. Tell us a little bit about the cartoon and what you wrote along with it on the post.
Well, the cartoon is Uncle Sam looking down, you know, at a brochure that's been handed to him, and he's saying to hysterical donkeys, I love drawing hysterical donkeys, he's saying, okay, I get that you're against, that you hate Trump, but what are you for? And the hysterical donkeys are saying, we're for hating Trump!
And then you posit that Democrats have, but there was more to it. There was the Democrats aren't running on anything except for we hate Trump.
That's the overriding theme of this election. And I'm not the only one who thinks this. This is a majority of Americans, according to the Washington Post, and a poll from the Post and the ABC News.
All right. So what you wrote was a clear, unapologetic statement of beliefs and actions they would take when elected is what the Contract of America had from Newt Gingrich in 1994. Sadly, the current batch of Democrats seems to be against Trump. And well, that's about it. So basically there isn't, because in addition to just being against Trump, they don't have a statement of beliefs is what that seems to also say.
Well, that's a bit of an exaggeration. Clearly, they're a political party. They have a platform. They run on things. But
that wasn't what you posted.
That's not what I posted.
And that's what triggered everything.
Okay.
I like how you put that. But that's not what you...
Don't point that thing at me. You don't know where it's been.
By the way.
I don't know where my own wonderfully manicured finger hasn't been. Wow.
Now he's insulting the media.
I don't know what's happening. I don't even know what my job is.
He's conservative. He's going after the media.
Right now,
it's fake news.
Right now, I'm a little bit of the instigator. Let's be honest.
The instigator, man.
That's not my...
Don't do it.
Now, Dave, what was your reaction to this post?
Oh my God. You know who has that as her ringtone? Jamie Pylak has that as her ringtone on her phone.
Okay. All right. So take it away. Your mic is now
somebody's
on.
Somebody's calling you.
No, yeah. Wait. Scott's microphone now goes off. Yeah. Yes. And rolled down.
Well, Patty. So I saw what Scott put in the cartoon, and I suggested that he was incorrect. Very incorrect. Extremely incorrect. Like, he's not paying any attention incorrect. And the reason I said that is because Democrats nationwide have been running this year on health care. It's viewed in the polls as the most important issue. Democrats have been campaigning on Obamacare and campaigning on the Affordable Care Act, which is really something I frankly have wanted Democrats to do for quite some time, to defend what is actually a pretty decent law. And so it is absolutely the number one issue. And so when I said to you I sent Scott some emails or tweeted his name with a particular video, what I was sending him were some of the commercials from Democrats around the country defending Obamacare. And I pointed out to him that this has obviously been super effective as a strategy because Republicans are now all lying, saying that they have always been for protecting pre-existing conditions and forcing insurance companies to cover pre-existing conditions, despite having voted against Obamacare 70 times and supporting lawsuits that are trying to allow insurance companies to eliminate pre-existing conditions.
Can I just point out, yes, Paul, we have to go to a break. More after this on 720 WGN.
Join the John Williams Show and your favorite White Sox players on an all-inclusive Apple Vacations trip to Iberostar Paraíso Lindo in Riviera Maya, Mexico, December 9th through the 16th. We're giving away two Sox on the Beach trips for two. Register at WGNradio.com/contests.
The Tribune reported that the governor has instructed the Illinois EPA to refer an enforcement action to the Illinois Attorney General's office against Sterigenics International. After years of purportedly emitting carcinogens into the community, the governor has finally ordered that the company discontinue those operations that result in any emissions of gases linked to cancer, pending a complete review of the risk to the public. The GWC law firm is currently investigating on behalf of people who live or work near the company's facilities in Willowbrook. If you lived or worked near the Sterigenics facility in Willowbrook and have been diagnosed with cancer that may be linked to the carcinogenic gas ethylene oxide, contact GWC immediately. We have a proven track record of success against environmental polluters. GWC can help those who have developed cancer caused by exposure to ethylene oxide emissions from Sterigenics facilities. Schedule a free consultation now to obtain the justice that you deserve. Call 312-999-9999 or visit us at justicestartstoday.com.
Consider it done with ABC. Right now, get your ultimate furnace tune-up for just $89. ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Book your appointment today at 4abc.com and consider it done.
Brooklyn and Sheetz have been named the winner of the Best of Online Betting category by Good Housekeeping, and they have rave reviews, not only from me, but from Business Insider. Imagine the incredible feeling of fancy hotel sheets. Husband and wife, Vicky and Rich Fulop, didn't think it should be so difficult and expensive to get sheets like that at home. Luxury sheets without the luxury markup. Brooklyn and takes out the middleman and works directly with the customer from design to manufacturing to customer service and beyond. Sheets don't just feel great, they look great too. Our Brooklyn and sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets we've ever slept on. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer, but just for you, our listeners. You get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code BILL at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident, they're going to offer you a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. But the only way to get your $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code BILL at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen, Brooklinen.com. The promo code is BILL.
Coming up after the news, we will continue our Patty's Peace Talks with Dave Lundy, Scott Stantis, and Paul Farvar. So dramatic. I could just see Scott Stantis in his pink cowboy hat. I don't know what kind of cowboy hat you have on. What color cowboy hat would you have on? Would you have
I like black.
Black. You'd be the bad guy in this?
Yeah, sounds about right.
You're wearing a duster?
Oh, yeah.
Wearing we got spurs on, Dave Lundy?
I got spurs.
This is the Patty's Peace Talk. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis.
Scott, they jingle, jingle, jingle?
I was just going to say.
They do as I go riding merrily along. On my white horse.
Scott Stantis faces off with Dave Lundy, and Paul Farvar is the mediator to catch you up. Scott Stantis posits that Democrats are not running on anything except for we hate Trump, and Dave Lundy says he's wrong. Paul, where is that about to sum it up?
I believe that what Dave Lundy had said was that he was vastly incorrect when he was referring to Scott. And he also said that he was wrong. And he said some vague comments about health care is what Democrats run for. So my question, I guess, as mediator to Scott is, when you hear Dave say that you're so incorrect and he gives you presents you with these generalities.
Yes.
How does that make you feel?
Sad.
And what do you have to say for yourself in response to that?
I would have to say that, yes, the Democrats obviously stand for some things. But generally across the country, the candidates have been tailoring their campaigns because even when you have the New York Times calling the Democratic platform only a bare bones platform, then it tells you. But the other thing is public perception. Yes, there are candidates who are running in favor of health care. And by the way, just saving something isn't necessarily a very bold plan. And we're not faced with a bold plan when we could have had something other than we oppose Trump. And in fact, a poll from the Washington Post and ABC News, 52% of the people believe the Democrats just stand against Trump. 37% said they stand for something. So it's not just me, and it's not just, I'm not saying this as a Republican. I'm saying as someone who's concerned about politics and concerned about the life of the nation. But the fact of the matter is the perception, and I think it's fairly accurate, is the Democrats are nothing more than a never Trump party. And frankly, they don't need to be there because the numbers were closing up. Democrats had a double digit lead that narrowed down to about 4% in late August. It's now starting to widen again because Trump's out on the campaign trail and they've seen what they're voting for. So that's the core of what I was mentioning.
Now, Dave, when you hear that your friend Scott is sad about the statements you make about him personally, how does that make you feel?
I'm sorry, Scott.
Now say it to him. Say it to him. Look at him and say it.
I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
Actually, yes, I did.
I was going to say, do you think that's legit?
Not at all.
Is that heartfelt?
You heard his statements.
I just get the sense that Scott doesn't, because nothing that the Democrats say appeals to him, and it doesn't get him in the feels.
No, it's not. It's not just me. I mean, this is. I mean, this is.
So here's the thing.
Say it to him, Scott.
Dave. I'm Dave.
Yeah. Say it to Scott.
Dave. Bearded guy, Dave.
I got
with
it.
Cast. Anyway, so Scott. Here's the thing. You had to go all the way back to 1994 to find a year that Republicans stood for something and won.
Yes. Yes.
Whereas if you look at 2010 and 2014, Republicans stood for being against Obama.
Yeah.
Period. Full stop.
Yes.
We're going to obstruct Obama.
Yes.
Period. And they won massively in both of those years. So every time I hear a commentator saying, oh, Democrats need to stand for something or you're going to fail this year, I'm like,
oh, I didn't. No. Wait. I didn't say fail. You guys are going to do quite well. The
okay,
Democrats
good.
Are going to do great.
So that having been said, I would argue that standing for something you believe in, such as the health care law, is better than pretending to stand into something you've been against, such as the health care law, which is what Republicans have been doing around the country, because the public is on the Democrat side on this one.
Well, it depends on the blue districts. They're not.
No. What do you mean?
Well, not blue. Yeah. Wait, no, red districts. I always get that confused. Red just seems to me it should be the Democratic color. I don't know why. It just.
That's nice. That was really nice. You know, you and Chris Roebling, because Chris Roebling this week wrote a piece in which he said, for the Illinois Review, he wrote a piece in which he said, the Communist Party is pulling out all the stops to win the 6th Congressional District. So you and Chris are what? Like peas in a sicko pod.
Sicko. Here's the thing, though.
It makes me happy to see you laugh together.
Here's the thing, though. Let me ask you, though, because there is the split in the Democratic Party now, too, between the more, I don't know what you'd say, the more conservative is not the right word, but the more traditional Democrat versus the progressives now and the progressive wing. And the progressive wing is deeply disappointed in the party right now.
Yes.
For the reasons that I mentioned, that it's not coming out and saying, we're going to impeach Trump if we get the House, we're going to have Medicare for all, we're going to, a very much more vibrance, right? And that's what I'm talking about. And you're right. The Democrats don't have to stand for anything right now. They don't, and they're going to win. And they're going to win. I can't make a prediction because every time I do, I get hair plucked from my body. I'm pointing at Patty.
Wait, what?
He bet that Trump would not make it past the first debate.
That was the waxing day.
Yes. Right. He waxed an armpit, a thigh, his back hair, and his nose hair.
I learned from his example and have never bet Patty on something that would involve body parts.
No, we never.
Should, you guys, in the peace talks, we should focus on the future and not the past.
Well, can I just say one thing about, well, okay, fine, it's the past. But, you know, our Eric Elk, our Friday night friend on the Freak Out Friday panel, Republican, Eric pointed out last week, he sent us a bunch of stats, really interesting stats. So if Democrats are the anti-Trump party, Republicans are the anti-Pelosi party, having run 109,431 anti-Pelosi spots since January
How many?
Of this year.
Is that a real number?
109,431 anti-Pelosi spots. They've run 61,741 just since September 1st.
No,
anti-Pelosi
don't
spots.
You think, and this
whereas
is,
Democrats, since that's in that same time period, have only run 39,000 anti-Trump spots.
But don't you think that, too, another point, and this I've read this across a lot of liberal writing, a lot of New York Times, Atlantic, others have said this very same thing. And that's the Democrats at the moment, and I'm going to quote here, don't really have a leader to speak at the moment.
100% agree.
Okay.
Yeah. Look at that.
Oh, look at
you guys
what?
Are agreeing and laughing together.
That was so funny.
And I think that's where part of the we don't know what they are. Because for better or for ill, and believe me when I tell you this, it's ill. I'm a never Trump conservative. You know this. And so I'm not, but he is defining, President Trump is defining the party now, is defining what the Republicans stand for.
And the Democrats don't have that right now. And there's, and in fact, there's some Democratic candidates who are running against Nancy Pelosi saying, if I'm elected, I won't vote for her.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is, usually the opposition party doesn't have a unified voice. They don't have a unified voice. So
it's okay. It sounds like you've come to a place of agreement, and that was a lot faster than I thought it was going to
be.
Wow, I was going to say, it only took like... It took less than half hour.
I think we could fight about all kinds of things, though.
I feel like Patty made a breakthrough here.
And had nothing to do with you guys. It was more of an epiphany.
I thought this was going to go.
This could have gone so poorly, but you guys are both mature friends. I saw you guys laughing together, respecting each other's feelings.
Even off the air.
Paul, you would not
make it as a divorce attorney, would you? Or as a mediator for divorce partners?
I feel like I've watched enough shows to figure it out.
This was one of the most, I think, active posts that you've had in a long time, because you had over 40. Like, you don't, like sometimes people will start a conversation, but there were almost 50.
Oh, were there?
You didn't even track this conversation, did you?
Not.
So you like throwing a, do you call it more throwing a match on Kinley? Or
I figure I had my say. Now everyone else gets to have theirs.
There you go.
Because if I jump in there, it doesn't really help matters.
Well, and I was delighted when you suggested we have this segment, because I wanted to take Scott apart on this because I thought he was completely wrong.
And now?
But I'm not.
And now I feel better.
And that's all I'm hoping
that's
for.
That's what peace is.
You feel better.
All I'm saying is give peace a chance.
This is just the summit that we needed. It's almost like you it's like the Israeli Arabic peace accords.
Or Reagan Gorbachev. Trust but verify.
I think,
Scott, how do you feel?
I feel about the same.
But I do wonder, though, I mean, because you guys know each other, I think obviously that has that element to it. But I whenever I see people going after each other, and I just saw this today, just getting so ugly on social media.
Oh, Lord,
and that's
no.
what it's coming down to.
And I think that's part of the reason I back off. I take half a step back because I take it personally. I do. And so
I know.
It's hard, though.
I did raise my voice several times in the last couple of years and yell at Scott about quotes from Abraham Lincoln and his Cooper Union address because I'm a dork.
I think I was on those shows.
I think you were.
I think you were as well.
Yeah, I felt like, Mom, Dad, stop.
Guys.
For the children, please.
Exactly.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that I try not to, you know, I shouldn't let it get the best of me. And that's kind of the whole idea, whether it's politics or cultural things. We can talk about Megyn Kelly in a little bit. But did you know she was fired, Andrea?
Yeah, I did.
And here's, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But Scott, I want to make sure that people check out your artwork and join the conversation, too.
Absolutely.
But wouldn't you encourage them to, like, maybe?
I do look at, no, I sound glib. I do read them. I just tend not to jump in.
You don't jump in? I thought you were reading them. I didn't assume that you weren't.
But also, you can go to gocomics.com/pricklycity for my comic strip. And it's also a link to my editorial cartoons. So, yeah, or just on the Twitters. You can get me there at Scott Standis or, contact me directly, sstandis@chicagotribune.com.
And Scott and I were thinking, Andrea, about having other cartoonists join us maybe next week ahead of the election and see where maybe the IPI cartoonist.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
Oh, my God. Did I say that out loud?
No, because the London cartoonist that you brought, he was from London, right? Mm-hmm. He was awesome.
But
he was from visiting from London. Oh, we had the museum guy too from London.
The guy who had the museum. Yes. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh. And the cartoons that he had, I don't think you could ever do anything like that, could you?
I wish. Wouldn't that be great?
I mean, their tone, a little scandalous.
Thank you, Patty.
You can't do that here.
Your artistic ability.
Right.
I just mean exactly.
I know exactly what you meant. I know.
Wait, I wasn't offended until just now.
We need another peace talk. Really
exactly.
Another peace talk.
I just meant...
Patty, put your hand back on.
I meant for the audience.
Oh, God.
You could never do anything like that.
No. Yeah. No, I meant because one was like, okay, it had... It was a condom and it was supposed to be on President Trump's head.
There you go.
You could never do something like that.
No,
would you want to? Is that something that
You know what? I would love the opportunity. I can say it on the air here. I can say it on your show. I can say that sucks.
It does suck.
I can say that.
Yes.
Right.
I cannot say that in my comic strip because apparently Eisenhower is still president. And it's 1957.
You can't say that sucks.
Wait, let me get
Puritan
this straight.
Puritan ethics.
So this week, Bruce Rauner releases an ad with the gay marriage.
Hold it right there. You just brought up another topic. We haven't talked about this at all. We have not talked about Governor Rauner. He's been dropping his G's for the last 4 years, and now he dropped the F-bomb. Let's talk about that when we come back on 720 WGN.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun.
Is everyone happy again? I have to say, I read on social media about this ad that Governor Rauner was running. Andrea, have you seen the ad? God,
I have.
And so I heard about it first, and I can't remember if it was Dave Lundy. Somebody made a comment on how it also was a negative portrayal of gay marriage.
Yeah.
Right. Are we going backwards? And so other people apparently, when they see it first, don't necessarily interpret it as an attack on gay marriage.
I didn't, by the way.
Right.
I was offended by the F-bomb.
So that's
were
the
you
thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was a joke. When I heard it, I thought, it was almost satirical. Yeah. It seemed didn't you think that?
I wasn't sure what I was watching.
We had this discussion on Mincing Rascals, which Patty and I are on. And
yes, you can find it right now online on WGN Radio.
And I was the odd man out. I was like, it's 2018. We should be able to curse. I mean,
I was actually. So here's the funny thing. So keep your finger by the button
just in case.
just so everyone knows, during the break, there was a lot of cussing.
So I watched the gosh darned ad. I watched the ad, and I didn't even. The gay marriage thing, it just didn't. I didn't even see it. It didn't faze me. I'm like, whatever, it's gay
That's
marriage.
That's the first thing that popped in my head.
Apparently, what Eric Zorn wrote just tonight. Eric Zorn wrote, yeah, I don't get the. What's the problem about the gay marriage?
Did he steal my line?
He was
giggling about my line.
What was the line?
The governor's been dropping G's for the last 4 years, and now he decided to drop the F-bomb.
Yes.
I'm very proud of that. I didn't post it because I didn't think anyone needed to go to the ad.
Good. But no, so I was offended because, look, I've got a 13-year-old and an 8-year-old, and it's not that they've never heard the F-bomb. It's not that they've never even heard the F-bomb out of me, although I really try to be careful around them. But I'm like, this tells kids, you know what? It's okay. You have license to do these kinds of things. I can't get too mad at you because the governor of the state of Illinois is putting this in an ad and that ad's going to run on all day parts. So what offended me. But I started asking friends. I asked various friends of mine, including my wife, and I said, what's your first reaction? She's like, I can't believe they're making fun of gay marriage. I'm like,
Most of my
friends said that.
Wow. I'm telling you, because it's an ad that's sort of the secondary, I'm convinced of it, the secondary notion was that downstate this is going to be, that's exactly how it's going to be perceived.
Yes.
Wow.
What I missed initially was they say Mike Madigan and J.B. Pritzker, an unholy alliance. Unholy alliance is the language that they use to attack gay marriage.
Right.
For years and years and years. That's what I missed. So it was intentional.
Yeah. Well, interesting.
Yeah, but the F-bomb, I'm going back to swearing.
No.
7-second delay?
Yeah, we're good. Okay.
But here's the thing. I asked this off the air and asked if you guys would like to have, in Britain, after 8 or 10 o'clock. You know,
safe harbor?
Yeah.
We have safe harbor. We could. I think it's after midnight. We actually could.
Yeah.
But you can't drop.
Then you
gotta
remove it from the podcast.
Like you guys can on Minting Rascals, if you guys so choose to.
Yeah.
On the singles only podcast, there's a lot of cussing.
There sure is.
Constantly. Mm-hmm. It was jarring for me.
We encourage it.
Yeah.
Is that why you're single?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be single.
Because girls get really upset. Ladies get upset when I swear.
I'm sorry. Which do you think of those as less offensive, girls or ladies?
The ladies.
Well, I say boys and girls when I talk about.
Hey, boys and girls.
What I should talk about.
Yeah, I used to say that too.
Yeah.
But I think Patty.
And then the millennia happened.
Patty, you know, as a comedian, sometimes you want to swear, but sometimes, like we just did a show, and they said to be super clean, and it's kind of you. you forget that there's sometimes in your jokes or your regular everyday language, you say the S word or whatever. And you're like, oh, they don't want to, you can't do that.
It is funny in my to be in a point in my career, because you've heard my CD, Pregnant Party Girl,
yes,
from Stories of Stirrups.
Oh,
and
God,
I haven't,
my favorite one.
I haven't heard it. I don't remember what I did. I mean, I kind of have a vague idea. You showed me the case for it, but it's weird to be at a point in my career where you know how much I swore on that one, mm-hmm, and to arrive at a venue and have people, you know, I could see other comics panicking when not just, you know, what we did, mm-hmm, but whenever I do a show where we're told to be clean, everyone starts panicking. I'm like, oh, you poor thing.
Oh,
I just don't.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
But there is the thing where, you know, I consider myself a clean comic, but I do say like a couple swear words, but it's always been, well, you're still a clean comic because you don't talk about the topics that are dirty. Mm-hmm. But it is funny if you are asked to remove all swear words, it does affect your set.
I just think it's like I said, it's 2018. I mean, that fight is lost. I mean, say F you to someone, it's like almost like aloha. It means hello. It means goodbye.
I still flinch when I hear it in certain situations, and
absolutely,
that includes television.
Church.
Yes.
If I heard it on the radio, definitely in church. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
that's the commercial. It's a priest dropping,
right,
the F-bomb.
It is.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's crazy.
But I mean, I've listened to some podcasts, political podcasts, and I'm listening to it in my car on the radio on POTUS. And the first time I heard this, and they started dropping the F-bomb all over the place, and it's people I see on MSNBC all the time who are doing this, it freaked me out.
It does. It is very strange. It is weird. Let's take a break here. More after this on 720 WGN. Earlier this week, I had the honor of performing for an incredible group in Galena, Illinois. It was the Illinois Public Employees...
IPELRA.
There we go. That's easier. And Paul was kind enough to book me on that show. We took a little road trip with our good friend Jeannie Dugan. Mm-hmm. And of course, as you do on a road trip, Andrea, we were listening to some tunes.
Nice.
And I was driving. I drove both ways, just so the record's clear. I contributed the most to this whole thing.
I napped the most.
There you go.
She slept the whole time.
I did.
Yeah, nice.
Well, it's the back seat of a two-seater car.
It was not comfortable at all.
No.
But
I found a hidden compartment that you didn't know you had.
I didn't know. I've never been in a back seat of my car. It's a two-door
I guess you wouldn't be.
Coupe.
What is it?
It's what do you mean? The car?
Like a Miata? Or?
Yeah, it's a Mazda Miata convertible. We drove it for 3 hours. Yeah. Top down.
Patty
top down. It was like Thelma Louise style.
Yeah.
But first, before I tell the story, I want to just say how great the peace talks have been. I saw these two gentlemen, Scott and David, just talking and sharing photographs with each other. It touched my heart.
Aww.
To see how much these peace talks that Patty has done has changed. If we can do this in this room, we can do it all over America.
I agree.
Well, for the record, three nights ago, he and I were in jail because we got into a bar fight.
Right.
And there was glass, broken glass, and
you know,
blood.
Under
and,
the bridge.
And to see, I was in the green room with them before, and the F-bombs are being thrown between them, and to see them now in almost love,
well,
it just
the,
makes me
from
feel
the
good.
585, cursing is the crutch of a conversational cripple, just so you all know.
Wow.
Them's just fighting words, Scott.
Also.
Guess me is a conversational cripple.
I can fix my limp.
Okay,
but
what kind of jacket is Louis Anderson wearing right now on the Seth Meyers show? Just out of curiosity,
it's a Liberace jacket.
Look at that thing!
Wow,
but
that's dazzling.
So,
okay,
getting back to the story,
dazzling,
which is going to be.
It is. By the way, you were great on stage on Tuesday.
Oh, thanks.
It was a great show.
You too.
It was outstanding.
You
so
crushed
it. Was a lot
it.
Of fun.
So, and this is going to go into the segment we're going to do on Monday. Patty, as we all know, has very limited knowledge. She has a vast knowledge of the nuances in history, healthcare, everything.
I'd say Hollywood too. She knows
television,
movies,
movies,
yeah.
Pop culture, series.
So can
everything.
You're talking about this. So,
wine.
So
I want to clear that.
Clearly, I don't have any room for anything else.
That being said,
right.
Her here lack of knowledge as a woman who's lived in America her whole life about music is mind-boggling.
Like any like genre?
Well, let me just give you an example.
Okay.
So we're in the car, and I kind of told Jeannie Dugan about this, and Jeannie and Patty are
she
good friends. They both are the voice of reason on my podcast, Singles Only, and they're good friends. That's actually how I met Patty. But Jeannie doesn't feel comfortable making fun of Patty, I'm sure, like I do, because Patty destroys me daily. So a song comes on the radio, and Jeannie and I both like, oh, wow, we like really like it. And it's a classic Led Zeppelin song.
Okay.
And I bet you Patty doesn't know who this is. And Jeannie goes, come on. Like, like thinking that I'm just out of my mind.
Right.
Completely out of my mind. It's like the most
Stairway to Heaven?
It was like the Houses of the Holy, the intro to House, whatever it was. And I just go to Patty, who just gets up. I go, hey, Patty, who sings this song? She goes, I don't know, what, Counting Crows?
Oh, no. Oh, God.
But the way she said it was like, I mean.
Okay, but hang on.
Counting Crows.
In Patty.
Yes.
No. You know what?
In Patty's defense,
I would still not know that this is Led Zeppelin.
We keep going.
I would be like, I don't know, Alabama? What is it?
There's no defense, Dave. You cannot defend this.
No, I want to make sure I clearly understand this.
Wait, she probably didn't hear Robert Plant start to sing, though.
Right. No.
Oh, no.
She wouldn't know who Robert Plant is.
But, fair. I wouldn't know that he was in Led Zeppelin. Yeah. I would not know that.
So, so here's the thing, though.
True story.
Is this lack of musical knowledge confined to like the 70s or
oh, no.
80s?
We went through. We did a couple other.
No,
wait.
I know me some Bing Crosby folks.
Before we move on the Led Zeppelin talk.
Yes.
Does anybody remember the time? Okay, so I booked a Led Zeppelin cover band that was playing.
No.
At the House
on the
of
show?
Blues.
Led Zeppelin 2?
On the show, yes, Led Zeppelin 2.
I love
2.
Them. I'm friends with Bruce.
A classic Chicago cover
yes,
band.
Yes, I went to high school with the lead
All
singer.
All Led Zeppelin songs, the guy comes in long hair, he's the lead
That's
singer,
Bruce.
He plays Robert Plant, and his segment was going on, and then I play the bump music, and then the guy's like banging his head, and she goes, yeah, this is a good song, who sings this? During the
Patty.
Patty.
And then later Counting Crows came on.
Yeah.
Incidentally. During our drive. And then I go, okay, Patty, who's this? She goes, I don't know, Black Crows. I'm like, so close.
She's a crow.
She goes, I know it's a crow.
It's a crow.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are they counting? Are they
so
black? What's going on?
My idea for this segment is Andrea, you and I will Michael will play a song 10 seconds in, and then we'll guess whether we think Patty will know the song.
Okay.
Does
but
Patty
we can't
know?
Look at her because sometimes if I can
you can do whatever you want.
Her,
I
like
know what the
excited.
Answers are going to be
can
to
we put
all
money
the
on this thing?
Can we try one?
It's going to be a gambling thing.
Can we try one just as a preview?
Yeah. I don't know. Michael, play a song that you think most people will know. And we're going to debut this game on Monday. We don't have a name for it yet because apparently I'm not good at naming shows because you didn't like...
Because you wouldn't want to say like name
Trump
that
show,
tune.
No, because it's not name that
no,
tune. It's guessing
name.
Whether Patty
you
can
know
name
it?
That... can Patty name this song?
Can I tell you something for my wedding? We sent my DJ a list...
Oh, no.
He said it was the longest playlist he'd ever had in his entire career.
Because Steve wrote the whole thing?
I just don't, I'm like, oh, that's, I don't know, that's a good, is that a good song? No, I just like, just like checked all these boxes. I'm like, yeah, that's good, whatever.
Oh, God.
Okay, I have one ready to go for you.
Okay, all right, here we go.
All right, so this is pretty darn well known. I know our listeners are going to pick up on this right away because they request it most of the time, but here we go.
There's no way she's going to guess this.
No way.
100% no way.
No way.
I think she knows it.
Okay, Andrea says she knows it. Who says?
I don't think so.
No way.
I say no. I say no. Michael, what do you think?
Definitely no.
Hey, like, give her a hint. Give her just like the year. Like,
No. We're not giving a hint.
No hints.
We can say it's the 70s. That's fine.
It's a 70s song.
She knows that. What are you looking at, Patty? You can't cheat.
Shazamming it right now.
Patty, no. Patty, don't hurry. Don't hurry.
That's not going to help her.
Hey.
I don't think you know who it is.
I got it. It's Rush.
Yeah.
That's not Rush.
That's not Rush.
No, Andrea's wrong,
that's
too.
Rush.
I thought it was Rush.
No.
That's why you shouldn't listen to him.
I'm sorry.
Okay, guess again.
No, I know what it is.
Okay, wait. Here's a hint.
No, I don't know
it's
it.
It's a name of a city in America.
what?
Great
it's
hint.
A name of a city in America.
You've been wanting to do this marathon.
Oh, come on. That's
I got it. Is it Boston?
No!
Andre, you might not be able to play. Not only are you cheating, but you didn't know. You thought it was Rush.
I did think it was Rush.
No, yeah, that was pretty bad.
I felt bad. I could not tell you for the team.
I could not tell you a single song that Boston does. I could tell you I like that song. What song?
More than a
it's called Smoking.
Come on.
That wasn't more than a feeling.
But that's a
give
Boston
her something
song.
More temporary, contemporary.
Yeah,
maybe.
Okay.
And just to test Dave's theory, is it limited to 70s? Perhaps something from the 90s.
He's got one. He's got one.
80s, we know she doesn't know. I don't know what you were doing in the 70s and 80s and 90s.
She'll get this one.
I've got a 90s, but this one is like, this is everywhere.
This is okay.
Oh. No way is she getting this.
Nope.
I'm going to say.
Is it Closing Time?
That's the name of the song. That's good.
I don't know who sings it. It's okay. Yeah, don't have to give me any hints. I just know.
There's no way you're gonna.
I can
get
hear
this.
The lyrics.
I don't think Andre even knows this.
That's my ID, and it's a pretty color.
Oh.
Okay, go ahead.
It's Green Day.
Yeah, that's not right.
No, that's not right either.
Twice.
No.
Wait a minute, Andre. We might have to play a game.
A new game here.
Whether Andre or Patty.
Andre to help her.
I think we could play the game where you both
where
don't
Andre
know.
gives the world's worst hints
and is wrong.
She got all my hints.
First of all,
they're all wrong.
You got the hints to the wrong answer. I mean, it's not Green Day.
No, it's not remotely Green Day.
I was like, why are you
It doesn't even sound like Green Day.
Oh, I see. It's not Green Day.
Who is it?
Michael?
Oh, it's the band Semisonic.
Who the hell is Semisonic?
I'm not going to know that.
Dan Wilson is a singer.
I can...
Something easier.
I knew it was Closing Time.
Something from the 90s.
Okay, he's got one.
Andre will get this because she gave it.
I won't guess,
okay.
I promise.
Okay. No hints.
I'm screwing it up.
Patty, you're 0 for 2 here.
I am.
This is like the level 1 on any Trivial Pursuit game.
Yeah, but is it remedial?
She'll know. You will know.
My parents are in their 70s, and I think they're going to know this. And they weren't even in this country for 30 of those years. They can't spell this band name, but they know how to say it.
I think I just blew Sprite out of my nose. I'm not even drinking Sprite. I don't know what just happened. Okay.
By the way,
this is our new segment on Mondays.
Yes. Yeah. Here we go. Level 1. And I could tell it
would be on. Oh, you'll know this.
Yeah.
She got this.
Little Joan Jett.
Yeah, she knows this.
Rock and roll. Come and take the time.
That's 1 for 3. That's not bad.
No. Yeah.
She got that right.
She did get it.
She messed up the lyrics.
That's because she knows
baby.
Joan Jett.
You know what? That would probably be the only song that I know. That Joan Jett sings.
Really? Oh, come on. Literally.
Yeah.
No. You don't
know. Tell her the other one. Let's see. Now.
Michael, can you pull up that other well-known Joan Jett that's only playable after hours?
I want to prove that this spans through the 90s and 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Michael's has a caller. Apparently, wants to either complain
or play.
Well, by the way, I'm very happy.
Or Andrea, guess this song.
No, it's Patty.
And here's the good thing about this segment,
Andrea.
The good thing about this segment is
you got the same score.
I don't know.
It's late.
You don't know them either, Dave. So this would be.
I mean, I knew Boston, but
it's late. Yeah,
no.
She's been up for a while.
We can do one more.
Okay,
just
one more.
Close it out.
All right.
Get ready.
Oh God.
Okay, Patty. You know this now.
I know I like it.
Does Andre, do you know who this is? Okay, good.
Tell me, Andre.
It sounds so familiar.
It's Led Zeppelin.
Is it really?
It's the same song.
It's the same song.
It's the one
we were playing before. Yeah. That was very funny.
So I believe we need a name for this. Is going to be Can Patty Guess This Song?
Really?
Yeah. Can Patty
it's a
name
yes
that
or no?
You're sure the name shouldn't be? Are you kidding me?
Oh my God! It's
no, because it's only music. You can ask her how many hairs are on Abraham Lincoln's beard when he was shot, and she will know
when
it.
He was shot.
She will know it. She'll be like, "Well, what do you mean at the time of the shooting, or like an hour later?" But like,
when they caught John Wilkes.
You can't name two songs by Michael Jackson.
I can name Thriller and
Thriller was a long song.
Okay, go on. Come on. Seriously.
Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson.
What's the second song by Michael
Give
Jackson?
Give me another Michael Jackson
One
song.
One other song.
She knows. Give her a minute.
I feel like I can see all the videos. Need to talk to your
the
mom.
The one where he's wearing the yellow sweater and Mama-san, Papa-san. I don't know what that one is.
Mama say, Mama mom,
Mama-san. He did a song in Japanese.
I think it's a Mandarin version. But let me ask you this: Can we? Is your mom knowledgeable about music? Because maybe it's you against your mom. I think she might know these songs.
No.
I need to talk to her and just say what happened from all these years. Like,
I'm not kidding you. My dad played pretty much Bing Crosby and Willie Nelson just all the time.
So you know Willie Nelson's catalog.
Yeah, exactly.
Name three of his songs.
On the Road Again.
That's one.
Yeah, we got that one.
Is it, I don't know all the names of the songs. I don't.
We still don't have a second Michael Jackson song either. Mamacita is not one of them.
Beat it.
There you go.
I was like, I even had the parachute pants. More after this, tell me something good, including a title for our new segment. Yes. More in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darles. You know, he needs a theme song. I know this one. Partridge Family. Oh my God, maybe I do already know.
Do you know
TV show, that's why.
I was going to ask, do you know theme songs for shows, maybe? Like, you can be like, maybe. Different Strokes, you can name the theme song?
Come and Knock on My Door for Three's Company.
Yeah.
Not for Different Strokes.
Not for Different Strokes. Yeah.
I can name theme songs, too,
can you name the theme song to Hello Larry?
I don't know the show.
Oh, yeah, what does
you don't know Hello show? Larry?
Is that a spinoff from Three's Company?
Are you guys kidding me?
Was it the spinoff?
NBC?
What are you talking about?
NBC, Hello Larry. It was starring McLean Stevenson and
sounds made
was
up.
It After MASH.
After MASH. No, is that not. Why he left? Is that why he died in the helicopter crash?
Yeah, that's exactly why. All right. Yeah, it was a terrible show. Well, that's just awful.
Which Hello Larry?
Hello Larry.
We're not going to fight about it, are we? Yeah,
no, I don't think so.
Hey,
we
Paul,
made peace tonight.
We did make peace. Tell me something good, Paul.
I'm excited to be here and back in Chicago for the next month. I have Everyone's a Lawyer, my game show on Sunday. I'm at Laugh Factory all weekend, Drink, Date, Laugh on Friday. Everyone's a Lawyer on Sunday is my favorite show. Patty, you got to do it sometime. There's no music category. Okay. It's three comedians acting as lawyers, and it's like a panel show. It's hilarious. We're filming it for Network. Come see it at the Laugh Factory, 7 p.m. Sunday, or get tickets at Paul F. Comedy.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Scott, will you tell me something?
Yeah, well, actually, the past segment, Andrea, was...
God.
No, it was adorable because, you know what? She was defending Patty. Patty would get things wrong. She said, oh, no. She's trying to help you, first of all. And I was like, but, you know, Thriller's a long song. That could be two songs. My wife does the same thing. Yeah. It makes me crazy, but it's also incredibly endearing. That's
it's very nice.
That's
awesome. Yes. Yes. That's your something good?
Yes.
Oh, well, thank you then. Very nice. Yeah. Dave, tell me something good.
My something good is I did not break anything this week. I did not have any new surgeries, so I was very excited. But actually, on a serious note, I had a couple of friends, both of whom have been going through very serious health issues, both of whom got very good news this week.
Oh, that's great.
And awesome. So I'm grateful to medical science.
That is wonderful. Michael, tell me something good. Oh, Michael's like, wait a minute, that you didn't know any of the songs. That was fantastic.
That was quite enjoyable, in fact. Anytime I can play Boston and Led Zeppelin back to back on WGN radio, it's always a good night.
My question is, how long have you been holding? I mean, how long have you been wanting to tell that Led Zeppelin
That's
cover
be your
band
favorite story?
Oh no, it just jogged my memory. I remember thinking at the moment, I'm like, this is I got to keep this one chambered. for the right
when
time.
When is this going to come up again?
There it is. Oh, it always comes back. Tell me something good, Michael.
So this was it's going to be a fantastic week. My family's coming to town this weekend, so I always like seeing them. It was a great day. I got back into hot yoga, so
I'm
doing that lately.
I love hot yoga. I'm being dead serious.
Really? Yes. Well, come and join me over at Core Power. Maybe we could get a sponsorship for the show.
I know. I would love to get a sponsorship for the show.
I wore a full-on tracksuit though during it.
I wear the rubber. I wear my geek suit. But
the bottoms and no shirt.
It's a suede purple suede onesie. The kind of.
I prefer to do yoga in a parka.
In a parka.
There you say park. David and Elm just doing his. I am like this tree.
Parka.
Parka. That's outstanding. Andrea, tell me something good.
Hey, I have to say, I laughed so hard I was crying. You guys were killing me. That was hilarious. And so that's definitely my something good. And then I'm having lunch with a friend of mine from U of I tomorrow. I haven't seen
Oh,
my God, years. So it should be great to see her.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
From our good friend Paul, he says, my good news, 2016 blood clot found in my right leg is now gone, according to last week's ultrasound. That's excellent,
yeah.
Paul.
Yay.
Wonderful. And I also, my something good, I've been catching up with Griffin and Steve. We've been watching horror movies.
Did you watch Hill House?
We have not. I've been watching it. Okay. Because it's a series, they won't be able to get into it, because I'll binge watch it. But we watched The Sixth Sense the other day. Tonight we watched Poltergeist. Ooh. So some of the ones that I've liked. And by the way, seeing Sixth Sense, I haven't seen it since it first came out. So seeing it now was a lot of fun, especially through Griffin's eyes. He knew the reveal because he's seen it online and like people make jokes about it. So that was really, really fun. So I
Does Poltergeist hold up?
Huh?
Does Poltergeist hold up?
It's a really good question. Because even I haven't seen it for a long time, and I remember thinking as I started to understand more about movies, I think that the beginning of Poltergeist is really well done. It's sort of subtle and it's a little bit creepy and what's going to happen and the suspense is built, and then it kind of gets a little like, you know, the steak like crawling across the counter and it starts to erupt and the guy's like peeling off his face. Do you remember that part at all?
Of course.
Yeah, it was like, it's weird because you're like, there's so much. It's
feels
like they threw
a
everything
cheesy in the middle.
Yeah, they threw a lot of things in, like the flying toys and everything. Like it seems very disjointed.
Besides, our version was much better. Of Poltergeist.
Oh, well, we read that, yes.
3 weeks ago for it what's that from?
That's what Steve said. He goes, this is the scene you guys read. I'm like, I still didn't remember. God bless Roger Badish. You will have another scene tomorrow night with him.
Yeah.
And then you have an interview with Diana Rauner that you are doing tomorrow night. And then you have a TV element with that as well. When does that air?
That is going to be this weekend on Channel 9 on Saturday as well.
Excellent.
And then we'll be at the Brookfield Zoo on Sunday you should come out on Sunday. It's a big kids festival.
Oh, cool.
On Sunday for Halloween.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. So catch Andrea.
Yeah.
Yes, tomorrow I'll be off. I am hosting the ChildServe Founders Gala tomorrow night. And then on Saturday, I'm hosting the Danny Did Foundations Gala. So I am busy this weekend. And so
lots
turning over
charity,
the... Yeah, Andre will be here. And do you know who's hanging out with you for news?
It's either Domity or Don Kleppen will be doing news tomorrow night.
Excellent.
So
because
we'll miss you.
Oh, and you guys will have a blast tomorrow night. I love Friday nights. And Patty, someone said the schedule online for Friday just shows Andrea. So yes, thank you for wishing me a wonderful weekend, and have a great great time, you guys. Happy weekend.
Happy weekend.
Happy weekend.
Happy free Halloween.
Happy peace and peace to everybody.
Yes, wonderful peace talks. Nick D comes up next.